Open our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 7 today, and we're on this series of Proverbs called Wisdom for Life, and this is really the third part of The Immoral Woman, but I'm going to give you a different title today, and if you're taking notes, jot this down. We want to talk today about the place of temptation, the place of temptation, and I want us to begin here in Proverbs chapter 7, and I told you the last week or two, that Proverbs chapter 7 and Proverbs chapter 5 are either among the best passages in the Bible on this topic in terms of standing clear and avoiding the sensuality in our world today, in our society today, avoiding the perversity, not getting caught up in it. Either Proverbs 7 and chapter and Proverbs 5 are the best, are among the best, or they are the best. I believe that these are jugular to understand. And today, as we unfold these, I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to give you some insight to maybe many of you how you got caught up in things. And if you can learn how you got caught up, then you can get out and you can stay free from that point on. And so we're going to read today. And by the way, I should have said this a little earlier, but I don't want to miss it. If you have young children in here today, this is NC-17 material that we're about to go into, and so I suggest that you send them out, and our ushers will make sure that they safely get to our kids' center across the building and get checked in. But this week, next week will be okay again, because I know I invited you to bring your kids in for the book of Proverbs, but this week, I believe, would be very marginal, if not completely inappropriate, for kids younger than junior high, and junior high would even be questionable. Proverbs chapter 7, I want us all to read out loud verses 1 through 5, and then we'll take it from there. I'm going to begin reading, as usual, from the New King James Version. If you don't have that particular version, that's okay. There are a lot of good ones. But follow along on the screens as we read aloud so we can all read the same words. Proverbs chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Let's fill this house today with the voice of the Word of God. Reading loudly and together, let's read. My son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your nearest kin, that they may keep you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. Let's stop there. You'll notice that this passage starts off saying, my son. And I told you 23 times in the book of Proverbs, it says, my son, four times, my children. Because God is writing here through Solomon primarily from fathers, Jewish fathers to Jewish sons. But the principles are intended for male and female alike. And so as you hear my son, all of you ladies, listen and hear my daughter, this is Father God talking to us as children. But we can also see the family wisdom being passed down from dad to the son speaking. And he starts off again with this subject. He says, son, listen, keep my words, my words, my words, and treasure, value my commands within you. Once again, we hear Solomon saying this, son, don't underestimate the Bible. Son, don't underestimate the Word of God. You think it's just a book, and you think, well, yeah, I know it, and I go to church and everything. Son, listen. Listen, stay in my Word. Keep my words. Treasure, value my commands within you. He goes on in verse 2 to say, keep my commands and live, and my law as the apple of your eye, meaning the thing you look forward to doing, son. Let the Word of God be what you look forward to every day. Verse 3 says, bind them on your fingers. Now, this is the picture that we've all seen of somebody tying a little string around one of their fingers to remember something. And he's saying, son, put reminders in front of you. If he were talking today, he would say, son, sticky tabs, use them. Magnetic reminders on the refrigerator. Son, 3x5 cards on the mirror. Son, put stuff in your car. Hang stuff around your neck. Do things, son, that'll remind you to be in my word, that and will remind you of what my word has said to you. Notice he says, bind them on your fingers. Then he says, write them on the tablet of your heart. Son, memorize these things. Memorize the text. Memorize the scriptures. Because as we've seen before, son, when you roam, they'll lead you. When you sleep, they'll keep you. When you awake, they'll speak with you. Son, memorize. Ingest the word of God. get these things in your heart. And just at the right time, the Holy Spirit will bring it back to your remembrance and it'll save you from a very, very dangerous situation. He goes on to say in verse 4, say to wisdom, talking of the wisdom of the Word of God, say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your nearest kin. Now, what does that mean? Say to wisdom, you are my sister. Well, let me tell you, it's not a neighbor. If it's a neighbor and you don't like your neighbor, you can just move away. But how many of you know it's hard to get rid of your sister? Isn't that right? She's always going to be your sister. He says, son, say to wisdom, you're my sister. In other words, you're always going to be a part of my life. You'll always be with me. Call understanding, not just some distant relative, no, your nearest kin, your closest relative, the kind that you come together all together for holidays, the kind that you're inviting over on a regular basis, that family that you actually talk to and get together with and connect with. He said, son, talk like this. Say about your life, I'm always going to have the Word of God in my life. I'm always going to be with the Word of God and have the wisdom of God. We tell our kids, you know, sometimes we have a rule in our house. You don't watch TV, you don't play video games or do anything fun until you've read your Bible. That's the first thing we do. And sometimes like, oh, Dad, you know, this show's on or my friend's over, and there's always something, right? And we just have to tell them, no, listen, see, we're Dearmans. And Dearmans, we take time for the Word of God. That's what we do all the time. But let me give you a little history lesson, son. Dearmans in the past, some generations ago, did not do that. And let me tell you what they suffered. Let me tell you what they went through. You couldn't tell the difference in some of their lives between the world and other Christians. It's because, son, listen, they didn't take time for the Word. Because the Word will spare you from things. The Word will give you insight. The Word will give you the strength and the power and help you to have the confidence in the Lord that you need in strategic situations. So we tell our kids, hey, this is just the way Dearmans are. I mean, it's just a family thing. The Bible is a part of our family. It's the way we do things here. We get into God's Word every day, see? And that's what he's saying here. Say to wisdom, you're my sister. We'll always be together. And call understanding your nearest kin. He goes on in verse 5, and this is where we're going. He says, do this, son, that they, my words, that they may keep you from the immoral woman. And we remember we studied that word, meaning a foreign woman, a strange woman. But really intending to mean a woman that does not serve God the way that you serve the Lord. A person, a man or a woman outside that they do not live for the Lord the way that you're called to live for the Lord. This is a foreigner, this person outside of the family and the God that we serve as a family. You could say it this way. This is a person that's willing to cross the line. The immoral woman. Son, if you stay in my words will keep you from the immoral woman. He goes on to say, from the seductress who flatters with her words. The seductress, the one who sets you up, son, and knows how to lure you away from the morality that you're called to. Now, beginning at verse 6, we're going to see a story that is depicted by the person of wisdom in the book of Proverbs. And Solomon defines the person of wisdom. You can see it very clearly in chapter 8. Solomon defines the person of wisdom as a woman. Solomon defines almost everything as a woman. Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines, 1,000 women right around him. And he saw all of their different personalities and characteristics and strengths and weaknesses and such. And so he talks about the immoral woman. He talks about the virtuous woman. He talks about the foolish woman and the wise woman and such. And so here he's talking about the person of wisdom, depicting wisdom as a woman. And wisdom here, this lady is inside of her house. And she's looking out through her window, through the blinds, and she sees an event take place. And I want us to walk through this event that she, in detail, walks us through. And I believe by the time she gets done explaining this event, this scenario that is playing out, I believe you're going to have more wisdom from God about how life functions in these areas. Verse 6, let's listen to her talk together. For at the window of my house, I looked through my lattice and saw among the simple, naive. I perceived among the youths a young man, notice the words, devoid of understanding. He didn't understand the ways of the world. He didn't understand the devastation of what the world will do to you when you get sucked in. Verse 8, what was he doing? passing along, listen to these words, the street near her corner. Say those words. The street near her corner. Notice it didn't say her house. He was just passing along the street near her corner. What is she saying? She's saying he didn't realize how close he was to something that could destroy him. He's just passing along, just walking along. Walks along, passed along the street near her corner. What is wisdom saying? Son, you don't want to be there. You don't want to be near there. It says, and he took the path to her house. Why did he take it? Because he was there. And once you get there, then the next there is an opportunity. And he took the path to her house. Son, you shouldn't have even been there. But you took the path. She says he took the path to her house. Notice verse 9. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. Now, first of all, if you just read this quickly, you'll miss something in there. And you'll just think it says at night. And it does. How many of you know there's something about night and darkness? There's something about night. More perversity happens at night than in the daytime. Not to say that it doesn't happen in the daytime. It certainly does. Absolutely. And way more than most people realize during the day. But there's something about the night when evening comes along. And it seems like those spirits of lust and perversity have a stronger foothold, and people give place to those. And here, wisdom is saying, I saw this young man, and here it is, going into the evening time. The time when most of the stuff happens and more people fall than any other time. But notice this. Let's detail this a little bit and listen to what she says. She says, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. Notice not just at night. She says, in the twilight. What does that mean? Sunset. Then she says, in the evening, after sunset, into the night. Then she says, in the black and dark night. That's late night, early morning hours. What is she saying? She's saying this guy not only went to the wrong place, but he stayed way too long. You can get messed up, even going to a good place, but staying way too long. Like the old saying goes, everybody looks better as the night goes on. Because there's something that happens. You get weaker in your flesh, and your will starts to wane. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. Now in verse 10, if you have a pen, I want you to underline a key word. It says, and there. Underline the word there. I believe we should capitalize this word, underscore it, bold it, asterisk it, and there. There. The story is describing that this person was there. And because this person was there, then all the rest of this stuff is going to play out. But had he not been there, see, I'm talking about the place of temptation. It says, and there a woman met him. Notice it doesn't say he met a woman. A woman met him. What does that mean? She was looking. She was ready. She is there to find somebody. He was just passing along the street and started getting sucked into this whole web of darkness. But she wasn't just passing along. She went there intentionally. She spun the web. She's part of the whole trap. It says, and there a woman met him, notice, with the attire of a harlot. It didn't say she was a harlot. It said she had on the attire of a harlot. What does that mean? She was dressed to allure. She was dressed. And we see this in our culture today. The attire of a harlot. You know, it used to be that prostitutes dressed like that to attract attention to their bodies and their body parts, to arouse sexual thoughts and sensuality so that men are lured into their trap. But nowadays, so often, what many people think is the style is to do that. But let me tell you, it comes from the same spirits of perversity. And I want to say to all of you ladies here that for you to dress in such a way that attracts attention to your body and your body part. Somebody said, well, if you got it, flaunt it. You know, we have those phrases and we just, well, that's not a scripture. We kind of say these things as if they're age-old wisdom that has proven to be successful and effective. You want to use the bait to catch the right kind of fish. Some of you are married, you shouldn't be fishing. But see, if you put stink bait on your hook, then don't get upset when you catch a catfish, because that's what they like, isn't that right? If you're looking for trout, well, don't use that. Now, trout will nab that too, but you're going to get that down in the bottom, in the mud, and in the sediment, you're going to get a catfish, because that's what you're attracting with. You want to attract people to you, not to arouse sensuality and to use the weaknesses of people's flesh to get them, and then you're hoping that they turn out to be some knight in shining armor. Let me tell you something, a knight in shining armor will see how you're dressed and know, I got to stay away from that, because I'm looking for somebody with heart. I'm looking for somebody that from the inside out is beautiful. And see, that is just not wisdom. We need to attract attention up to the face. And I'm not saying to dress ugly. I'm saying you can dress stylish, modern, contemporary, but you don't have to dress in such a way that provokes and stimulates sensuality. Let me give you an example. Low-cut jeans, wearing a thong, that's not good. You sit down and now everybody's looking at that? Why would you do that? What's the message? There's a message there. What is the message? Why do you want people to see that? Or worse, the person that has the low-cut jeans so low and wears them down like that, and there's no thong. I've just noticed how many more ladies we have that are plumbers today. All right, enough said. Notice verse 11. Well, let's read verse 10 again. And there a woman met him with the attire of a harlot. And notice, and a crafty heart. Not only is she dressed to allure, but in her heart she understands how to get you to succumb. And a crafty heart. It goes on to say, she was loud and rebellious. Loud and rebellious. You know the attitude I'm talking about, very prevalent in our world today. I mean, you know what I mean? Just verbal. And you know, that's not godliness. 1 Peter 3 talks about a godly woman, and it says that godly women should have the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and a quiet spirit. That doesn't mean you shouldn't talk. That just means there's a whole demeanor about you of humility and modesty. It's not just a clothing thing. There's a whole spirit of modesty. And there's a grace about you. Let me tell you, that is, in a different way, a very attractive thing. Very attractive thing. To have that grace about you where you're not just out there talking trash. That's not godliness. That's not right. That's the wrong attitude. That's the attitude of the world. That's the attitude of the kingdom of darkness. That's not the attitude of love in the kingdom of God, right? Male or female. It says she was loud and rebellious. Her feet would not stay at home. What does that mean? She's restless. She's dissatisfied with what she has at home. She wants more. She wants something new, somebody else. Her feet would not stay at home. At times she was outside, at times in the open square, lurking at every corner. What is he saying? Son, this type of lady can show up anywhere. It's not just that one neighborhood over there. Son, on television, she'll show up. Son, on the radio. Oh, you can't see her, but you can hear the talk about her. The stuff that provokes your mind, and before you know it, you're thinking things you shouldn't think. Son, on the internet, magazines, newspaper. These things irritate me, these newspapers they put outside of these restaurants that have pornography in them and all kinds of things, traps to get involved with. I mean, the connection points. And here, any kid can walk up and put coins in and get hooked and have their life destroyed. And I've told you before, I want to get a big chain one night and just take my Suburban out there and drag them all into the ocean. Because it's not right that we allow that in our society and put that in front of anybody, and much less kids, who are curious. I read in the paper yesterday that iPods, there's a big boom now with little pornographic video clips people are downloading onto their iPods now. And pornographers have really pushed and are promoting this big because they found a whole new niche now. Listen to what he said. Son, it's lurking at every corner. You have to pay attention. Don't think it's just that person. It's everywhere. And you have to watch out. Lurking at every corner. So she caught him. What does that mean? She cornered him to talk to him. She caught him. She got his attention. And kissed him. Son, this type of lady will jump to physical things quickly. There's no getting to know one another and making sure that, you know, we both love the Lord and are on the right page. No, no, no. She's ready to jump right into physical touch. She caught him and kissed him with an impudent face. That means a shameless face, like I'm not doing anything wrong. Listen to what she says. With a shameless face, she says, I have peace offerings with me. Today I have paid my vows. So I came out to meet you diligently to seek your face. You know what she's saying? Can't believe that. I was just at church today, had peace offerings, paid my vows, and I was praying that the Lord would just, you know, bring destiny to pass. And so I came out to meet you to seek your face. Can't believe it. Here you are. God set this up. Can you? And people do that. They'll bring God into the mix of this. And God, you know what? The Lord, this is chemistry. This is destiny. This is fate. I was just praying for somebody. And look, here you can't believe it. I remember when I was about 19 working at Stater Brothers Market. Just been promoted to checker. And I wasn't the guy that stayed in the check stand a lot. I was out filling the milk and the soda pop. And then when they got really busy, they'd call me and I'd come help get the lines down. And then I'd go back out. Well, this one lady kept coming all the time. And every time she'd come, she'd find me. Come looking, and she'd say, hi, how are you doing, and everything. And finally one day she'd say, you want to go out? Well, no, I don't think so. Why not? And so I told her, I said, you know what? I'm a Christian, and I only will date Christians. And she got this big, goofy smile on her face. I'm a Christian too. Isn't that interesting? She didn't care whether I was or not. She's hitting on me. But all of a sudden when I say I am and drew that line, she's over that. Hey, really? Me too. And of course, I didn't fall for that. Thank God. Thank God. Told her no, but listen, people will do that. I have peace offerings with, you know, just today I paid my vows. So I came out, as if that's the progression, like God sent me, or God is setting this up. So I came out to meet you, diligently to seek your face, and I found you. Now notice what comes right after this, right after this whole, God's in this. Verse 16, I have spread my bed with tapestry. Bed? But you know, people will do that. They'll just mix sin right in with God as if, you know, God understands. He knows, you know, we're not trying to do anything bad here. This is just, look what we're feeling. There's something here, and you know, and the Lord knows that you're lonely, and He understands. God understands how you feel. Let me tell you, God does understand how you feel. God understands loneliness and all that. But He does not condone sin. Are you listening? Never has, never will. He doesn't condone sin. Yes, He understands. Yes, He wants you to have fulfillment in your heart and have good relationship and such, to have love. He wants you to, and He will answer your prayers. But you need to know something. God does not allow you to cross the line. It'd be like if you had a son that was a drug addict. And it was destroying his life. And you watched his whole life coming unglued. And then he decides he's going to do right and he's going to get off the drugs. But after a couple of days, you see him going through the withdrawals and shaking and tense. And he needs it. And he's telling you, I got to have it. You know what you don't tell him? I understand your heart. Go ahead, get some. I understand. You just need it right now. Go ahead. No, you don't say that. You know why? Because you know it's going to kill him. He may not even come home tonight. You don't say that. Sin destroys. That's why God hates it. God doesn't hate sin because it's fun. God invented sexual things, didn't he? Every last tingle. Is that true? He invented it all. He came up with the idea. Sexual pleasure was God's invention for our pleasure. But when it's misused, when it's taken outside of the boundaries of marriage, it destroys your life. You think it doesn't, but it does. It does. It destroys your self-confidence. It eats away. You have a cloud hanging over your head. And you know there are options that are not available to you when you're in sexual immorality. You don't even consider them because you're locked in. You don't realize it. Like the Bible says, it's a deep pit and a narrow well. And you don't even realize you're closed in. And you can't just do what anybody else could do because you need the Lord to free you. So he goes on. What verse were we on? 16, I have spread my bed with tapestry, colored coverings of Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. What's she saying here? I've got this whole thing. She came intentionally for this to happen. I mean, she is there to score somebody and to get them back home. That's why she's there. I have perfumed my bed. Verse 18, come, let us take our fill of love. This word love is used for so many things, including sex. It's used, but let me tell you, that's not the right word. Come, let us take our fill of love. Imitation love. Cheap love. No, love is far deeper. Oh, it can include sexual things. But love is far deeper than this. Let us take our fill of love until morning. What does that mean? Oh, I mean hours of pleasure. And here this guy is listening to all this. Let us delight ourselves with love. For, verse 19, my husband is not at home. This is not a harlot. This is an adulteress. Somebody not satisfied at home. For my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home on the appointed day. What is she saying? We won't get caught. Nobody will know. They'll never find out. I know. It's a safe place. I've got it all fixed up, created for us. Nobody will catch us. Verse 21, with her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. He's got no resistance. Immediately he went after her, as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Notice wisdom is saying, I watched this whole thing play out. This young man just passing along the street near her corner. But I saw as if cattle were in a line going to the slaughter. And one by one they'd edge up and just stand there and edge up a little farther and a little farther, not realizing that their life ends today. She said, I watched this young man keep edging up closer and closer, not realizing he was going to his destruction. Verse 23, till an arrow struck his liver, vital organ. Till an arrow struck his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare. Now listen to these words. He did not know it would cost his life. Say that with me, would you? He did not know it would cost his life. This young man did not know that day there are things that will end. Every time you give place to sin, something dies. You need to know that. Every time you give place to sin, something dies. Sometimes you lose your whole life. This guy did not know he's going to the destruction of his life or a part of it. Verse 24, now therefore listen to me, my children. male and female. Pay attention to the Word. See, God says, back to the Word, son. It's the Word that you need to pay attention to. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Your heart. Notice, do not let your heart. Son, you are responsible for your heart. You don't let your heart be thinking about her. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For she, this kind of lady, has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her, listen, and let it haunt your thinking from today forward. All who were slain by her were strong men. Men who thought, I can get close, I can flirt, I can mess around, I won't get caught, I won't get burned, I won't get sucked in, I won't do anything. I'll be okay. All who were slain by her were strong men. Her house, it ends saying, is the way to hell. Son, you want to go to hell? Go to her house. Her house is the way to go to hell. Descending to the chambers of death. Now, I know there are people that will say, oh, good, good, I'm not going to her house. I'll have her come over to my house. I mean, there are people like that that think, okay, I'm going to get around this. No, you know what it's talking about. Now look over chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5. Notice the way chapter 5 starts. My son. My son. Notice the subject that chapter 5 starts with. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. He's back to the Word of God. Son, listen. Pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion. Do you remember the word discretion we talked about? Wisdom that keeps you from future trouble. Son, if you'll stay in the Word, you'll preserve discretion. And that wisdom will keep you from future trouble. And that your lips may keep knowledge. For, verse 3, the lips of an immoral woman drip honey. Honey would typify today desserts. Honey, son, listen. The words of an immoral woman are like desserts. They're so attractive. They're so tempting. And you want to eat them even though you know they're not good for you. You know they'll stay around longer than you want them to. But son, they're so tempting. You're going to want to partake. The lips of an immoral woman. What the whole point of what he's saying is, son, don't even be somewhere where you're listening to those words. Because it'll start attracting you. The lips of an immoral woman drip honey. And her mouth, notice, is smoother than oil. What does that mean, son? Her words have a way of sliding right down into your heart before you even know it. Her lips are smoother. Her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood. Son, let me tell you, you're going to be left with a bad taste in your mouth. Sharp as a two-edged sword. You're going to feel like somebody pierced you through with a sword. Seems good up front, son. But it's going to be devastating at the end. Verse 5, her feet. Now, if you have a pen, I want you to underline the words her feet. Her feet. Her feet represent where she is. Son, her feet, or being where she is, go down to death. Her steps. Underline her steps. Her steps represent where she goes and the way she lives her life, her lifestyle. Son, walking like her, or going where she goes, doing that kind of thing that she does. Son, her steps lay hold of hell. That's the way to go to hell, son. See, a lot of Christians don't realize this. A lot of Christians think that they can come to church and call themselves a Christian, but they can be involved in sexual immorality, and they think they're going to go to heaven because God understands all that. And I go to church, and some people want to come and do the little confession thing and get forgiven, but they don't ever change their lifestyle. Let me tell you, that's a lie. You need to know that. That's a lie. That's not true. Well, I thought the Lord loves us, and He forgives us, and He understands. He does, but when you come to confess your sins to the Lord, what you're saying is, I don't want to do this anymore. And I'm asking you to forgive me and cleanse me and to strengthen me to not do it. So I got to break up with somebody maybe. I got to walk away from something. I got to stay away from certain people. Why? Because I've asked for forgiveness and I want to walk with the Lord now. That's what coming to confess your sins is. It's not just saying, I want the forgiveness and the freedom, but still be able to do what I want to do. No, that's not at all what God's talking about. In fact, we looked at it in Proverbs. It says, whoever hides his sin, covers his sin, will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes sin will find mercy. You want to find the mercy of God? You need to confess, but you also need to turn away and walk away from the sin. So he says, her feet, being where she is, go down to death. Her steps, going where she goes and doing what she does, is the way to go to hell. Verse 6, lest you ponder. Son, don't be where her feet are. Don't act the way she acts, so that you don't even ponder her path or her way of doing things, her path of life. Her ways are unstable. Listen to this, underscore this. You do not know them. Well, you know, she seems like a nice person. I know she's dressed like that. And I know, you know, she's probably been around the block. But you know what? Son, you do not know them. You do not realize. Yeah, but you know, I met her and this and that. And, you know, we kind of just hit it. Son, you don't know. You think you know, but you don't know. In fact, you don't even know what you don't know. What is he saying? Son, trust the word. Trust the word, son. Trust the word. Just do it the way the word says to do it. Don't follow your emotions. Don't follow your feelings. Therefore, hear me now, my children, and do not depart. Notice again, here it is, from the words of my mouth. Son, stay in the word. Verse 8, this is a key word. Asterisk this, underline something in here. Listen to this. Son, here's wisdom. Remove your way far from her. Remove your way, what's the next word? Far. Say it again. Far. That doesn't mean close, does it? Far. Remove your way far. What does he mean, your way? Your way. The way you go to work. The way you walk. The way you walk from your desk to the break room. And you know that certain ladies over there at that desk. Son, you walk the other way. Well, that's the long way. Take the long way, son. Yeah, but I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to say hi. Son, remove your way far, far from her. And let me tell you, this is wisdom right here. Far from her. And notice what it goes on to say. And do not go near. Do not go near. Well, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to sin. I mean, I'm just going to go by there. I'm not, passing along the street near her corner. And we watch that guy go to his death. The death of some things in his life, if not complete death. Son, remove your way far from her. Don't even go near the door of her house. What is God doing? God's saying, son, let me give you wisdom. A prudent man, Proverbs 22:3 says, a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. Let me show you a little diagram. Let's put this up on the screen. The center of this, that's sin. That's sin. That's outright black sin. And you would just assume that every Christian would know where the line is. But I found that most Christians don't know where the line is. They have an idea where the line is in their own mind. And some people would say, well, sexual intercourse, that's the line. But I did a series called How Far Is Too Far? And we just walked through the Bible to find out where the line is. And I mean, the Bible has a lot more to say than most people realize it does about where the sexual lines are. And it comes all the way back to your heart. Jesus said, if you're lusting in your heart, you've already committed adultery. Not physically, sexually done something immoral, but in your heart, you're already across that line. And Jesus said, that's wrong. That's wrong. See? So there's sin. Now notice the next ring around it, the white area, that's the place of temptation. Didn't Jesus say, I want you to pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And then he goes on to say, lead us not into temptation. In other words, Lord, lead us out of, away from the place of temptation. God does not want you in the place of temptation. He does not want you there. If you're in the place of temptation and you slip, where do you slip into? Sin. Sin. But I want you to notice there's another ring outside of that. That's called being near the place of temptation. If you're in the zone of being near the place of temptation and you slip, where do you end up? In temptation. And Jesus said, lead us not into temptation or away from it. So you know what you want to be? You want to be one level outside of that, the safe zone. In other words, you're not even allowing yourself to go near, listen, not sin, you're not even allowing yourself to go near the place of temptation. You understand what I'm talking about? This is what he's talking about. He's saying he was just passing along the street near her corner. And he ended up taking the path to her house. Son, you don't even want to be near that place of temptation. And this is what years ago when the Lord, I've told you before and open with you, that I used to be bound with the spirit of lust. I mean, had its claws in me. And I cried out to God. I love God. I wanted to be free so bad. I did not want to be a perverse person. But yet, I was raised in this society. I grew up playing football in the locker room. I heard stuff that, I mean, I can't repeat to anybody. The most creative ways they talked about sexual things. I mean, just, and funny and all that kind of stuff, but it gets inside of you, see? And next week, by the way, I'm going to talk about the heart. The Metroplex, grand central station of everything that happens in your life, comes through your heart. And I'm going to talk to you next week from the book of Proverbs about how to protect your heart. What the Bible says about protecting your heart. And see, all that stuff came inside of me, and before I knew it, I got locked in with the spirit of lust. And I mean, when I say the spirit of lust, I'm not just talking about that I had sexual tendencies. I'm saying an evil spirit, the spirit of lust, would come on me, and I could feel this pressure to do things. And I needed to be freed, and the Lord set me free. But let me tell you something. I've seen a lot of people that God has freed, but they don't see the wisdom of the Word of God. They don't spend time in the Word, and they don't see the prudency of hiding themselves from sin, like what we're talking about here. Don't even go near, son. You think, well, I didn't do anything. Yeah, but you went near. And the fact that you went near and you knew that you went, that you were going near, was you giving place. You chose to do that. You knew that that was near the place of temptation, and you chose to do it anyway. See? And so the Lord taught me these things. And so I things that I do or don't do in my life, some people think, well, you're kind of extreme. Like, for example, when I travel by myself and I'm in a hotel room, I don't watch television by myself. You know why? Because when I first started traveling, as national youth minister, I went out and I was in Oklahoma somewhere, and man, I ministered the Word of God, and we had a powerful time with kids, and I came back and they put me up in a nice place called Econo Lodge. And I got back in my room and I thought, I'm just going to catch the news here or watch the sports channel. And man, just flipping through the channel. I'm not talking about pay stuff. I'm talking about just flipping through the channels, and all of a sudden, bam, there it was. And I called my wife on the phone and I said, let me tell you, I will never watch TV alone in my room. Why? Because that spirit of lust is so sticky. It's like flypaper. You know, you get it stuck on your hand and you can't get it off. And so you grab it with the other hand. Now it's stuck on that hand. And so you step on it. Now it's stuck on your foot. And you think, well, I'll just do it this once and I'll get out. No, you don't. It's a spirit. It locks you in. You give place to it. That's why the Bible says give no place to the devil. Don't give him any room, any opportunity. So I told her I won't do it. And there were a couple of occasions over the years that I'd call my wife. I'd be in some hotel room and there'd be a war going on or something. And I'd call her. I said, listen, I want to turn on Fox News, but I'm not, because I made that commitment, I'm not turning that TV on. So I wanted to get you on the phone, and I'm going to get Fox News on right now, and then the channel's not going to change. You understand? And so she'd say, okay, go ahead, do it. Now you think, what are you acting like a little kid? Hey, say whatever you want to. I'm free. I know what it's like to be bound, and I know what it's like to be free. Free's better. I'll tell you right now. Free's better. I don't want any part of that. And I just know my flesh. If I keep putting my flesh in a place of temptation, my flesh is vulnerable. Somebody said, well, you're a pastor. I don't care what I am. I'm a human being. I've got to use wisdom. I've got to stay away from that stuff. See? At home, we have cable TV. And that's just, you know, we chose to have that. You know, not that's We wanted a good picture, but we just have the basics. We don't have all the movie channels and all that. But even in the basics, let me tell you, there is a lot of inappropriate stuff in the basics, the basic channels. So you know what we did? We took a considerable amount of time, my wife and I, and the kids were there, just sitting there, going through, locking up certain ratings of movies and things on television, locking up certain channels. There are some channels that are not appropriate. I'm not going to watch a channel having people like Howard Stern on. It ain't going to happen. I'm not watching a channel like that. I'm not going to have it available in my house. Mm-mm. So we locked up a bunch of channels, and we even removed from the menu. I don't even want to see that stuff on the menu. I don't want my kids to see that stuff. Why? Because it's just a little something in your mind. Well, I'm not going to do anything. I'm strong. That's the foolishness of saying, well, I'm strong, so I can allow it to be there and just kind of dangle there because I'm not going to do anything. But it just keeps sowing the little seeds in your mind. I don't even want it in the menu. You understand? So we went and locked all that stuff up and put in the password, you know, four numbers. Four numbers. I have two, and my wife has two. Why is that? Somebody says, you don't trust yourself? No. No. Man, you know, you'll be sitting there late one night and feeling like everything's okay, and all of a sudden that spirit will start working on you. No. No, I don't trust my flesh. See, and I don't want my kids around that. And by the way, just a little side point, my wife and I don't unlock something and watch anything sensual together. Some people think, well, you know, as a married couple, you can do it. What are you talking about? As a married couple, I can look at some other lady and have all these sensual things going on, watching some other man. And no. Where did you get that? Where did you get that? And if you need that to arouse yourself for your own spouse, then you're missing some other areas. You shouldn't need that. The reason why you need that is because you're not turning your passion toward your spouse. You're allowing your eyes to look all over, and so you have to have some external things to arouse. You shouldn't have that. You shouldn't need that. Man, this is your spouse. You should be pouring your passion toward your spouse, talking about how you're looking. I've told you about my pastor friend, and he'd gone on this long trip, and I was up in Oregon at his church ministering, and he goes, yeah, I just got back from such and such a place, and he was telling me, he goes, oh, I couldn't wait to get home. He said, you know what I did? This is what I did. He was like all giddy. This is what I did. I took a picture of my wife, and I pinned it up on the visor. And every once in a while driving, I'd flip it down and go, I can't wait to get home. And he's like, I'm looking around like, anybody watching this, you know? This is the pastor. This is the pastor. Well, let me tell you something. To him, his wife was the most beautiful and attractive person in the whole world. And of course, I knew that wasn't true because my wife is. But let me tell you what he was doing. He was teaching something. He was saying, this is how I keep my attention in the right place. I talk. Somebody says, that's like psyching yourself up. Yeah. You need to psych yourself up for the right thing. If you psych yourself all day long with your eyes going everywhere else, well, yeah, no wonder. Yeah, you're going to need some Viagra or something. See why we sent the kids out? But do you hear what I'm talking about? Yeah, because your passion's everywhere. And I'm not saying, of course, that's not the only reason that those medical things are available, but let me tell you, that's a lot of it. People have overstimulated themselves. And then when it's time with the right person in the right setting, no, your passion's gone. You're all over the map. No, he was doing the right thing. He was looking, And I tell you what, I have learned to talk about my wife. And if I see somebody and the enemy tries to say, there's an attractive person right there, I've learned to say, are you kidding? Man, what I got at home? Praise God, I got the best, top of the line, state of the art woman at home. Yeah. See, I've got to remind myself, there is nobody that'll do my life better than that woman. You understand? See? I'm trying to keep up with the one woman I got. I don't need any more women. All right. Let me finish this up. This is powerful, isn't it? This was written, Solomon began to reign in 1000 BC. 3,000 years ago, these things were written. And yet he could have been writing for the 2000s today. And I share with you, don't be alone in a house. Don't be alone in the car. Somebody said the car? The car. Any make, any model. Not just vans. I'm telling you, bugs, Mini Coopers, I don't care what it is. You get over there, the flesh is the flesh. Don't be there. Don't be alone. Don't be in the place of temptation or anywhere near it. Jesus said this. Jesus said, take it seriously. Take it seriously. Don't. If there's a person over here that's attractive and you know that's not the direction you need to go, don't walk that direction. Don't drive that way. Don't drive that direction to see if that lady's out there watering her lawn. See, that's all giving place, sowing seed. And when you sow the seeds, eventually, let me tell you, that's going to come up. That harvest of lust is going to come up and you'll get caught. And here, the Word of God is telling you, son, if you'll spend time in the Word will remind you of these things. And you remember not to sow that seed, not to give place to that. So Jesus said this. He said, if your hand offends you, cut it off. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. What is he saying? Well, not literally cut your hand off, because if you have a problem stealing and you cut your hand off, you'll steal with the other hand. But he's bringing an important point. He's saying, son, it may have to hurt. It may devastate you in some way. He said, but it's better for you to cut your hand off and to have one missing limb than for your whole body to be cast into hell. That's what he said. Book of Mark. He said, it's better for you to lose an eye, even to go blind if you have to, son, than for you to be consumed with this bondage and give place to it and it take you to hell. He's saying, do something drastic. I've told guys, you know, hey, you know what? If I were you, I wouldn't even have internet right now. Oh, I got to have email, bro. I mean, I got to. What? And so you'd rather have email and to be bound? You're about to lose your life, your wife, your family, your reputation. And you got to have email? Do something. We here on staff, we have Covenant Eyes. Covenant Eyes is a little subscription you pay. But all the websites I go to, there are a couple of pastors on our team that get a weekly email to tell them where I've gone. And it automatically will let them know what is highly suggestive or mildly suggestive and such. And so I get those, from some of our other pastors. And I tell you what, as soon as you see something on there, as soon as I see something from somebody else that's even questionable, and there's stuff that comes up that's not, it's not anything, but, you know, the computer system flags it, you know. Anything says images, somebody looking at images. Well, it could have been a horse, but nevertheless, you know, it's an image, and so it begins to flag some things. Well, if I see anything, man, I shoot an email right away. Hey, what's going on? I noticed this. When you talk, hey. I mean, right? We're right in each other's face about that. And why do we do that? Because we like to be free. That's why. It feels good to be free, let me tell you. Some of you are not free, but we're going to get you free. God's going to get you free, and you're going to feel good. You don't have that cloud hanging over your head. The devil loves you living under a cloud, but God doesn't want you to live under that cloud. He knows your heart. He knows you want to be free from that stuff. But you're going to have to walk in the wisdom of God, and that's why we're talking about this. So he goes on to say, remove your way far from her. Do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor, son, to others, and your years to the cruel one. How many of you have years you just like to give away? Lest aliens, people you don't even know, be filled with your wealth, all you've worked for, son. Other people that you don't even know, everything you work for, they get to walk away with it. Aliens are filled with your wealth, and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. And you mourn at last. Finally, you get it. You mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed and say, how I have hated instruction, discipline, and my heart despised correction. Son, finally you'll say, why didn't I listen? Verse 13, I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to those who instructed me. Son, you'll regret that you didn't listen to this correction today, or your teachers, or your parents, or somebody that tried to give you a heads up and a caution and says, should you be doing that? Just as gentle as it was, but you didn't listen. Notice what verse 14 says. I was on the verge of total ruin. Where? Out there with the prostitute? Out there with the magazine? No. In the midst of the assembly and congregation. He said, son, you can be sitting right in the middle of church and this be going on in your life, destroying you. I remember when we were in youth ministry, I had a young man get saved. I mean, and got passionate about God's Word, jumped into the Word and got full of the Word, and actually, over a matter of several years, became one of the most loved teachers in our ministry. And we had quite a number of teachers, had discipleship going on and such, and became so loved because when he would talk and he was gentle, people would just know, man, this guy knows God. And then he got a girlfriend from the ministry involved, you know, and a believer. And one day they came to me, said, we have to tell you, we messed up. What do you mean? We had sex. How'd that happen? Well, I knew how it happened. But the reason I asked is because I had been over all of these passages with them. All this stuff, we walked right through it in youth group. How'd that happen? We were alone at her house. Didn't we talk about that? We knew we shouldn't have been there. But we thought, we're just going to run in, got to grab her jacket. We messed up. So now what happens? Ministry is on the sidelines. Okay, let's start to work with you. Listen, you guys got, you know, you got to draw the standards. Let's write it all up, and here we go. And we started working with them. About a month later, I need to talk to you again. What happened? Messed up again. Where were you? At her house, but her mom was home. We were in her room. See, we talked about not being in the house alone, but here's the justification. Well, her mom's home. She's over there. We're just in your room. Listen, the flesh is strong. And so we began to do everything we could to get them, no, you've got to separate. Listen, you cannot keep going. But they wouldn't listen to the wisdom of the Word. So in the process of time here, they're not even coming to church anymore. And they feel guilty and they got this cloud over them. And we're trying to say, listen, God will free you, but you got to use wisdom. And now, several kids later, miserable. And if you talk to them today, you know what they'll say? The best years of my life was when I was in the Word of God, in the will of God. And I was keeping myself pure because I had everything. Even though I wasn't married and didn't have some of the things that would eventually come, I had my confidence and I had my purity in God. I was in the will of God. It's the best place. But now years, and I mean years, have gone by. Lost. The years were given to the cruel one. How did that happen? Because they were bad people? No. Because they had bad hearts? They didn't love God? No, they did love God. But because they didn't listen to the wisdom of God, and God said, listen, remove your way far from her. Don't even go near the place of temptation. Stay away from that. Well, we're not going to do anything. Stay away from it. Don't do it. Because the spirit of lust will set you up, attack you. And I mean, you don't even realize what's happening. And there you are, like we read before in chapter 7. And there. And you shouldn't have been there. But when you're there for a reason. somebody sets you up and you do not have the willpower that you thought you did. All who were slain by her were strong men. And the Lord is speaking to us as a church. And as you know, He's calling us to create a place here and to declare this is a place of purity. Not a place of people looking down their nose at people who messed up, because most everybody in here, in this area, has struggled. And everybody in here has messed up with sin in one way or another, in multiple ways. Let's be honest. But the Lord has called us to take His Word and to value His Word, treasure His Word, and take the wisdom that comes from the Word and begin to set them as standards in our lives and say, this is the way we live, so that when people come in who are bound with lust and their lives are being destroyed, they come into this place, though they couldn't be free before, they'll be free in this atmosphere. Because, see, we're going to help them to understand the ways of God, the ways of prudency, wisdom, discretion. And before they know it, Jesus will have them cleaned up. But they'll be in a safe place where they know what to watch for, lurking at every corner, right? But they see it. They understand it. The Word of God is flowing in their hearts. And they're walking around, that cloud is gone, and this whole level of freedom has come to them. And the restoration process is in full swing of their life. That's what God has called us to. And I don't care where you are today, what place you are, let me tell you something, the Lord knows right where you are. And He will free you, forgive you, and if you listen to Him, He'll keep you on this path to where you feel like, oh, this feels good. All the opportunities will open up for you as you walk down this path. The farther you walk down it, the more opportunity you'll have, the more life you will have. Bow your heads with me, would you? Father, I pray today for several categories of people. First of all, Lord, I pray for those people who right now are in sexual immorality. There is wrong going on in their life that they've given place to in various ways, in various venues. And Lord, You've spoken so clearly to them today. Not a word of condemnation to make them feel like dirt or scum. Lord, that's not Your word or Your heart. But a word of explanation, light, insight, understanding, and to show them a better way of living. Not missing out on fun, but enjoying real fun at the right time in the right way. Lord, I pray that You would strengthen that person to confess their sin and to forsake it, regardless of how difficult it is. Strengthen them, Lord. Lord, I also pray for the people here who, man, they don't want to do any of that. But Lord, it's caught them. And they're hooked in. The spirit of lust in one way or another has them bound. And they continue to go back and do these things that they hate. They don't like it. They don't want it. And You know that they don't want it. You know their heart. Lord, I pray for them that the wisdom shared today, the power of the Word of God, would give them the confidence to not only confess their sin, but also to say, thank You, Lord, for Your Word that has and is freeing me today, not only from the sin and the bondage and the guilt, but also from the ways that it traps me. Lord, I thank You today. You're freeing people today, and they're going to respond to You and be free once and for all. Lord, I also pray for those who are on the verge. They've dabbled. They've given some place, but they haven't been caught up yet. But they've dabbled. And Lord, they're in a place of temptation. And You've spoken so clearly today to say, son, remove your way far from her. Daughter, be far away from the temptation. It may feel like you're cutting your hand off because some of the things you like and are used to go with it. But the Lord said, do it, do it. Do it and do it quickly. I'm going to ask everybody in this room right now not in such a volume that people around you, even next to you, would hear you. But I'm going to ask you to respond to the Lord right where you are. Mutter to Him and talk to Him about forgiveness. Confess and say, Lord, I've done some things. Here's what I've done. Lord, forgive me. Let God know, God, here's what I hear you saying to me. And then respond to Him. Say, Lord, here's what I'm doing today. Here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I need you to do. Go ahead. You pray. I'm going to pray for you. But all of you mutter to the Lord right now. Lord, we come to you individually. And we say, God, forgive. Forgive us, Lord, for sin, wickedness, perversity, giving place to things, thoughts, actions, attitudes. Forgive, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that your word says if we confess our sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord. We receive cleansing today, right now. A fresh start. We receive a fresh start today. Not that there aren't some things we have to deal with. But Lord, we receive a fresh start from you right now. And Lord, we also pray that you would give us strength. Strength to do the right things, to be disciplined. Strength to keep our guard up, keep our eyes opened. And at appropriate times, keep our eyes closed. Strength to stay away from the place of temptation, regardless of what rationale is coming through our minds that say, it's okay, I'm strong enough, I can get closer. Lord, give us the strength to put these principles into operation in our lives. And Lord, I pray for those who have confessed sin and are forgiven. But yet the enemy is pounding them with condemnation and guilt and trying to get them to live under a cloud. Lord, in Jesus' name, I scatter that cloud and I declare that there's an openness above them now and a freedom because Jesus' blood cleanses them from their sins. Lord, I pray for that person that needs to go do something that's somewhat drastic, cut off a relationship or friendships. Or whatever. God, strengthen them to do it and to do it quickly, quickly, in one swipe. Not slowly, Lord, not a little at a time, but one cut completely, eliminating that option of sin in their lives. And Lord, I thank you that you're going to bless people. Lord, I thank you that because of this, people's lives are going to flourish. They're going to have purity of heart, but also it's going to play out in other parts of their life. Lord, bring your blessings. Bring fulfillment of relationship to people. In the name of Jesus, we pray, Lord, for those single people who desire and are believing that you will give them a godly spouse. God, we agree today, give them that person. Lord, we don't want a decoy. We're willing to wait for the right person at the right time. Lord, we pray that that would happen. In the name of Jesus, no decoys. We bless you, Lord. With every head bowed and every eye closed.